only, I'm having a little bit of, maybe you can clear something up. The two words used in the New Testament for forgiveness, and let me, obviously, the pronunciation, afemi, it's a verb.
Afemi.
Okay, and then the second one is harizomai.
Harizomai.
Okay, but so here, the first word is used in Matthew 40 times, Mark 35, Luke 30, John 14. And anyway, I'm thinking it's going to say a lot more than what it said. It's just to disregard, to give up, remit a debt, forgive, keep no longer. And then harizomai is only used in Luke 3 times. It's used in the epistles. And that's the word I thought would be so much more prevalent because it's, you know.
No. Charizomai means, it comes from the word charisma. And it means to share the loving kindness and loving mercy.
Okay, man, because that's part of it.
Afemi means to send away, never to be seen again. So both of them are true, but the one that you want to know about is that has the most dramatic effect is afemi. That's what forgive means. That's why in the Old Testament it says that your sins are forgiven and carried to the depths of the sea, never to be seen again. And they're carried to the depth of the sea in your baptism, because your baptism is your burial.
Okay.
If you retain a consciousness of sin, well, let me stop a minute. You've heard me say the most revelation of Christ in the Bible is in the book of Leviticus. And the reason is, it explains and cuts up the offerings so that you can see the truth to the scripture in Hebrews that by one offering you have been perfected forever. And in there's a series of offerings, and I won't. We spent 3 years on them in the Bible study, so I'm just going to give you a quick summary of them. There's, before you could even get into the ball game with Christ, the sin has to be forgiven, the trespasses have to be forgiven, and the uncleanness has to be dealt with. Now, he did all that. But let's stop. The New Testament, in many cases, but the church in particular, confuses the word for sin and trespass. Trespass is what you do, the acts. You screw up, you make a mistake, you do something wrong. But sin is far more dangerous. Sin is what you are, who you are. You do trespasses, you are sin. You understand that?
Amen, yeah.
And so that's why that both of them have to be dealt with. The sin offering took care of you as long as you see that you were baptized and you were dead and buried. But the trespass offering, that's what the blood of Christ cleanses us from all trespass as we continue on the walk. Adam's sin is never forgiven. But it's forgiven in our context because it's buried in the depth of the sea. It's buried because you're buried in baptism. And it's as far as the east is from the west.
Amen. Okay?
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to see the difference between trespass and sin. Otherwise, you'll walk in confusion. Sin is who you are. You are sin. You can't do anything about it except die. Unfortunately, this isn't taught because there's confusion between sin and trespass. They use them interchangeably. Does that answer your...
No, it further clarifies it because, I mean, that's why obviously I looked at it. One seems so much richer than the other.
But it's only rich because it's got loving kindness in it.
Yeah, exactly. No. Well put.
It pleases the man. All right. Anybody have any other questions or comments? Or everybody understand everything perfectly? Yeah. Well, you must be. You'd have some questions.
You have questions?
All right, go to John chapter 5. This is when they were at the pool of Bethsaida. And that's where the waters, there was a legend that if the waters were ruffled by an angel, then whoever got in first got healed. And so this guy had been there, and he was crippled, and so he tried to get healed, get into the water first, and he never made it. So he was healed. Then in verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So he healed somebody on the Sabbath, and that was illegal according to their understanding of the law. But then Jesus' response was interesting. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In other words, there's no separation. He only does what he sees the Father. I'm going to watch. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things doeth the Son likewise." Whatever he sees the Father do is what he does. Now, he didn't have an internal television set. He was so completely empty that there was no separation between him and the Father. And that's what he demands of you, that you be so completely empty. There's no separation between you and Christ, and therefore you and the Father. And so you just live. You stop trying to be, and you just be. Because you've lost consciousness of self. That's why it means, in Matthew 18, it says, except you be converted and become as little children, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now, converted, everybody understands, but what does it mean to become as a little children? It's a word that means before self-awareness, and that normally happens at 18 months, about. Prior to that, the child has no awareness of himself. Now, you've spent, ever since you were about 18 months old, aware of yourself. And you kept trying to change yourself, and you took a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you would get into a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you literally invented yourself. And then when that didn't work out, you reinvented yourself again. And you kept doing it over and over and over. Well, that's why Jesus said that Paul said, you must have the mind of Christ. And he said, well, let's go to, so you don't think I'm making it up, go to Philippians 3, or 2. Verse 5. I'll wait for all the Bible scholars to find Philippians. Except for, so look at Mr. Righteous over there, has his little computer that all he does is push a button.
Was that Philippians what?
Chapter 2.
2:5.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not, it says robbery, but thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, those five words, made himself of no reputation. There are five words in English. It's one word in Greek. Keno. Is that right?
Spell it.
K-E-N-O.
I mean, that you know, that's good.
Now, what keno means in Greek, it's to empty yourself to the point of being a vacuum. That's what repentance means.
Amen.
So there's no more reference to yourself in yourself. You've become as that little child before self-awareness. You've seen the stupidity of self-awareness. Amen. Self-awareness is the fruit of the curse. That's what happened at the fall. You became aware of yourself, and every man goes through the fall. Again, I always get off on these tracks. Why do I do that? In the Garden of Eden, God formed man. He didn't. He made a man and woman. And they were born innocent. Innocent meaning without self-awareness. They were to, but God doesn't want innocence. Innocence doesn't mean anything. He wants tested innocence. And so we don't know how many tests Adam and Eve passed, but we know of one, they failed. They failed because their mind seduced them, and that mind is the snake. They always had the capacity for separateness, but they were seduced into believing that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not just evil, everybody thinks they ate of the tree of evil. No, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened then, that's God separated our mind. And we now have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. But the conscious mind only has control of about 1% of your activities. You know, again, try to control the muscles to cause you to be able to sit. Try to control the enzymes that are released to digest the food you have. Try to control the blood that's flowing through your organs. Try to control the hormones and everything that are working in your body without you knowing it. We only have one little teeny bit where we believe it gave us the capacity to believe we were in control. Now, my experience was this. I thought I was in control of everything. My only rule was rules are for when brains run out. And then brains ran out. But the point of it is, I was living in this delusion that I could control my life. Now, until the conversion experience, and then it showed me, my God, that's stupid. I can control nothing about me. Well, when that happens, then you can return to that place without self-awareness because you internally know that all self-awareness only leads to aloneness, emptiness. Not empty in a good way, but we talked about that last week. So somehow you've got to return to this place without self-awareness. But the only way you can do that is by repentance. Okay? So, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Kino, emptied, 100% emptied. But he couldn't empty just by deciding he was going to empty, that wouldn't have done you any good. He had to go through all of the stuff for the first 30 years of his life to find out that it was all crap.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yeah. Well, only I've always thought now that you either have the mind of Christ and you're empty, an empty vessel, or you have the mind of I think the Hebrew word is lave, the imagination, including, I mean, everything, your courage, your resolution.
It's all garbage.
Your hope for, yeah, it's all garbage.
It's all garbage.
So you either have the empty mind and you're the empty vessel.
Not so, and then what happens? Let's go to John 14. Verse 20. At that day, what day?
The day
you accept, not that you're trying to die, that's contradiction in terms. You were born dead, and there's been a somebody masquerading as you all these years. What?
It's an interesting statement.
Well, I used to think you live a certain way so you can die a certain way. When the fact of the matter is, you're dead, and you're born dead.
That's why the word you're mortal, the mortal man.
Yeah.
Mortal is the word for dead. You're dead man.
Amen.
All right. So on that day, in verse 20, you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. So you too can be at that place where you do nothing except you see the Father do it. Now, that's why you don't deny Jesus by saying he doesn't exist or he isn't the Savior. You deny Jesus by saying you exist. Is that apprehended? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if I exist, just think about your life. You spent the whole life thinking you were a poor, isolated person, trying to do the best you can, learning a little bit here and a little bit there. You did some of you did some good stuff. Most of you did a whole lot of bad stuff. Maybe not bad in your mind, but I'm talking about God's mind. Because it all had the root of self-seeking.
Right.
Amen.
But you always knew you were separate. You tried desperately to find something that wasn't separate. That's why as a hunk of protoplasm, that's all we are, as a hunk of protoplasm, you see separation from something you love or want as death, and you see sex as life.
You know what, can I add something, Oli? You used to say something that never spoke to me, and it really does now. And I want to read Isaiah 41:29. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. And, of course, I used to think my works in terms of worship or something. And then when I looked at that word, you always said, about the businesses and the busy and the this and that. And in that passage, the word works is ma'aseh, and it means like deed, work, deed, thing, being done, act, labor, business, pursuit, undertaking, enterprise, achievement, deeds, work. And when I read that, it just, you either worship him or you are spinning your wheels. Oh, I'm busy, I got a business. I'm doing this, I just achieved that. And it's... I used to think you were an extremist, to be blunt, and then I realized
No, you wouldn't have thought that about me.
It's been a smart butt, too. But nevertheless, you either worship him with everything you got, or you just end up double-minded.
You can't say smart-ass in here or something?
Huh?
You have to say smart butt and not smart-ass.
Yeah, I don't like the word ass.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, he's an ass, but anyway, when I read that and I looked at that word, I thought, oh, my goodness, man, I mean, it just... Not that I look to confirm what Oli said, but Oli says, well, your achievements and your labor and your dreams, and you think, oh, man. And it's, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Your sweet thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet
the
talk.
Night comes when no man
sweet
can
talk
work.
Out of you.
The night's here when no man can work.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
One of my heroes of ancient guys is a guy named William Law. And he said, quote, God must do all, or all is nothing. God cannot do all until all is expected of him. There can be no you left in the equation. Therefore, if there's no you left in the equation, there can be no past and there can be no future. Every second is the eternal now. You're just faithful, whatever is set before you. You have no investment in the outcome.
Yeah. How'd you say it all week? How'd you say it this week when somebody's talking to you? They said, you know, I used to be real close to God.
You don't feel, yeah, if you don't feel as close to God as you used to, who moved? Isn't that funny? Let's go to John 6.
John 6.
Everybody asked me this. Here's what happens. I've been saying the same thing now for, it'll be 40 years, January 17th, next year. And this sounds, I don't mean this to sound arrogant, but it's true. I haven't learned a thing about God since that day. I knew I was the Antichrist. I knew that I had to die, or I was dead. I knew that the essence of everything I teach, I knew that day. That was what's so wild. But nothing I have ever taught did I ever learn from anybody. And that was a blessing because I'd never been to church since I was five or something. So I didn't have any baggage. I didn't have any crap that people had taught me. But that's everything. Everything that I'm saying to you, you already know. That's why I didn't learn anything. I haven't learned anything since that, because just as I knew everything that I saw, but it had to be a witness. So you already know everything. You have a need that no man teach you. It's all, but he has to be all. You have to totally empty, 100% empty. The minute you want to learn how to do something, or have a question, or what do I do about this, or what do I do about that, then you've put on the Babylonian garment and you've stepped out of faith. And so it's got to be all or nothing. It's all him or it's none of him. And that's why I keep, all the kids that grew up here, I taught them, go push all barriers, run every rabbit, climb every mountain, do everything that's in your head. I don't care if it's drugs or sex or videotape, go run, go do it. Until you come to the end of it. But do it quickly, because the end is soon. As I've said consistently, and I say to everyone in here, if you've got anything left to do, do it. Because you're wasting your time and my time by being here. As several of you can attest to, I've never asked anybody to come to Bible study. I've never tried to recruit anybody. I've done the opposite. I've tried to kick you out. If I can kick you out, then you didn't belong here anyway. Oh, but he's so mean to me. Oh, you poor little wimp. Oh. Oh, poor you. Well, you don't understand what I've been through, Ollie. Oh. Compare notes with you. But it's all or nothing. Amen. All right, we're going to... Anyway, so what people say, well, if I did what you say to do, Ollie, I'd just go sit in a corner. I say, yeah, you probably would. because you have a form of godliness, but don't believe, but deny his power. You're just a fake. Do you understand that? God is his own power. He doesn't need you. And these guys get on television and say, oh, if you were the only person left on earth, Christ would have died for you because he loves you so much. That's pure horseshit. The love of God is centered in a person, in Jesus Christ. It's not spread abroad. It's not sloppy agape. If God so loves the world, then how come there's 80,000 babies dying of hunger? Well, that's the devil's fault. You mean devil and God, or God, devil's more powerful than God? No, but, you know, there's no answer for their stupidity. The love of God is in his Son. And he so loved the world, the cosmos, which is the adornment of the bride. He so loved the bride that he gave his Son. Just like a man has a daughter, I mean, a son, and he wants a bride for her. Well, so does God want a bride for his Son.
Amen. Revelation 19:7 ends.
And many, many others.
Amen.
So, anyway, so what do you say to people? Everybody, well, what do I do then? What do I do? I'm interested. I'm a believer. I want to believe. What do? To do the work of God. Go to John 6, verse 28. Well, let's stop before then. Verse 28. Yeah, 28. I said that. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might do, that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. Now the word believe, we think it's, again, English is just a terrible language to understand. Believe doesn't, it's not an intellectual assent. Believe is this. This is you. And if you believe, then you do this. You die if he isn't there.
You can't jump into his daddy's arms.
That's what believe means, literally. And then what happens if this happens and I go crawling down? Then you're better off not being a fake anyway. But God has to have, most of you know this, but the day I became a believer, I had a net worth of about $5.5 million. It was January 17th, 1972. It was all in deals. And I had the conversion experience. Let's talk about the sense of humor of God. I didn't do anything honorable, I'd give it away. I just walked away from everything. Three and a half months later, I was homeless under the Mockingbird Bridge. Now that wasn't nice. God didn't have to do that. And some of you heard this, but you're going to hear it again. I was cold. I had not even a coat. I had the same clothes I'd been wearing for like a week or something. I can't remember. I was hungry. Had no money. And there was three guys that built a fire in the archetypal 55-gallon drum. They were drunk out of their minds. And I could just hear one guy because he was loud. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, I'll tell you one goddamn thing. If I were president, blah, blah, blah. And I said, God, is this what you want for me? Did I have that wonderful experience so I could just die here of hunger and listen to this garbage? And that's the first time that I've emptied myself. Totally. and say, what would you say, God? What's going on? And here's what came. And I think it probably applies to everybody. So the internal voice said, I see your loneliness. I see your fears. I've seen your guilt and frustration. I've seen your endless search for love and fulfillment. All this had to be in order for you to come completely to the end of your own understanding. Then, and only then, can you hear my voice. Listen carefully amid the noise of the world, and you will hear. I love you. I shed my blood to make you clean. You are perfect as you are. Stop criticizing yourself or getting down for not being perfect in your own eyes. That leads only to frustration. I want you to trust me one day, one step, one second at a time. Dwell in my power and my love and be free. Be yourself. Never allow other people to run you. I will guide you if you let me. But be aware of my presence in everything. I give you love and joy and peace and patience. No one else can. But take your eyes off yourself. I lead, I change, I make. But never when you are trying, for I cannot fight your own efforts. Let me have the joy of making you like Christ. My love is perfect. My will is sufficient. I will supply your every need with absolutely no effort on your part. I love you, your Heavenly Father. I haven't doubted a day since then. That confirmed everything. And I have no patience for Sunday morning Christians. They haven't tested anything they believe. They don't have the courage of their own convictions. They just have Christ as an add-on to their life. And that is, to me, the most evil thing you can do, to continue on in self-seeking in the name of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Either he is true and he's faithful, or don't waste your own time anymore with believing in some Sunday school theology. This isn't a comic book. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
What are you doing, Trey?
Just thinking. It's all good.
What are you doing? You left for a while.
I was just concentrating on what you were saying. To empty yourself out and self-will. It's good. That's the complete opposite of what any of these guys TV preach. It's good, Ollie. It's too bad that the world at large, what they hear pumped in their screens all day, is that it's kind of a get rich quick scheme. That's what the Bible has become.
Amen. Question is, where is your Christ? Is he in heaven somewhere? Is he going to be seen sometime in Revelation way down the road? Go to John 9. Now, Jesus said this. Almost 2,000 years ago. He said, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, this is probably the most controversial thing that I teach. I believe that we've been in the night of the last day since the crucifixion. When the sun darkened at about 3 p.m, that was the beginning of night, the night of the last day. And that's the night that he was talking about. And the night cometh when no man can work. And the reason no man can work is that was the beginning of the Sabbath. So we've been in the night of the Sabbath day for 2,000 years. The Sabbath isn't a day of the week. It's funny to me that the Muslims say it's Friday, the Jews say it's Saturday, and the Christians say it's Sunday. And they're all wrong. The Sabbath is Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
He is our Sabbath.
Right.
Amen.
And the night has come, and no man can work. So every idea that you've ever had, every invention that man has ever made, every improvement that we have, even though I like a lot of them, like lights and air conditioning and heat and all that, have been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. Do you understand that? Just think of all the deals to get your attention, all these stupid things now. I used to hate the video games. Now the games are either I started hating those machines that went tilt with the little balls going around.
Pinball machines. Yeah.
What do you call
pinball?
Pinball. And then came along video games, and I really hated those. And now that's all there is. I mean, they have billions of dollars spent on these stupid video games so you can escape more reality. Maybe it's good because that's what most people's lives are, is a video game. Because everything is lived in your own imagination. The night is here when no man can work. That's why the word for evil in the New Testament is pornos, or pornios, where we get the word pornography. It means to labor or to toil. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're constantly admonished to enter into his rest, into his Sabbath.
All right. That's probably enough for tonight.
I'd like to share one verse only that really means a lot to me, in Isaiah 11:10.
Okay.
In that day there will be a root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign of people. To it will the Gentile seek, and his rest will be glorious.
Amen.
Yeah. Leave Sabbath. Jesus.
But so you all it requires is some integrity. You've got to, if you can admit that not once in your life, I mean, your mind and your emotions have been your friend for very limited times. For me, it was always how to get laid. And then so I thought that was a pretty good deal. But spread the wings out. There is no time in your life or my life have our minds ever proven to be our friends? Nor our emotions.
That's a fact.
So my question to you is, if it hasn't once in your entire life been reliable,
why do we keep listening?
Would you think about it? Why would you give it any importance today? Why not simply, that's what repentance means. It means, repentance means, it means emptying to the point of being a vacuum. And so you, let's look at, let's see where our warfare is, then we'll quit. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, or 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10. It's right after 1 Corinthians. Shut up, Nick.
When did you figure that out?
Nick is thinking of something to say.
No, I am not going to say anything smart. I'm just thinking of repentance and the word for it in Hebrew.
All right, shub. It's a Hebrew word. That's a good word. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What that means is none of the battles that you've ever fought or that armies have ever fought in the name of God have been right. We're going to start with the Crusades, you know. Yeah. And then consider, we invaded Iraq because Bush advisors like Paul Wolfowitz and some others had convinced him that the Messiah couldn't come until Israel had taken everything from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. That's why we invaded Iraq, fundamentally. American foreign policy to the Middle East has been a disaster in my lifetime because two things. One is blind. I'm not anti-Israel, but I'm certainly not pro-Israel. That land is no more holy than Peoria. That lost its holiness when they crucified Christ. But anyway, the idea that our foreign policy is based, I mean, it shows the stupidity of governments, the stupidity of our religion that causes those kind of things to happen. Oh, no, we got to support Israel because, no. There's no more Greek or Jew, bond or free, male or female, young or old, American or Russian. We're a new creation.
Amen.
That has no reference to anything of the past. Do you believe that? All right, here's a warfare. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Not strongholds in Iraq or anywhere else. Listen to where the strongholds are. Casting down imaginations and every high thing or high place is what it says in the Greek. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah, pretty clear.
There's no thought that you can have that can stand against it is finished. There's no thought that you can have that can stand against you've been perfected by one offering.
Amen.
There's no thought that you can have, no plan that you can have that can stand against everything is exactly perfect, exactly as it is. No matter where you look, you see the perfection of his holiness. You see Christ is all and in all. Every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we can't see that because we are stupid. We think something has to happen. But the night has come when no man can work. But, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. And the disobedience is up here because you resurrect the evil one from his deadly head wound.
Amen.
That's what, I mean, I hope you understand. If you don't, please say something.
It's not your business. Your business is to speak. That's all. Understand that it's somebody else's business. See you later, Oldie.
I'm going to slap you silly one day. Oh, we got something real quick to talk about. Ow. Have a seat, everybody, for a second. There's a whole bunch of people that say they want to be part of Bonanza. This is the other groups are called like the Rutledge Group and the Buckner Group, but I've always called it Bananas because I can't stand the Anthony Group. That doesn't make any sense. And we're certainly not going to call it the Novello Group. So, but anyway, the way they're called Seder groups. And Seder is a Hebrew word meaning order. And they have to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people. And we've reached a point where there's about 10 that come periodically. And so that means that if we want to, we can form another Seder group, which means that we would meet 3 times a week. And we'd have on Sunday, we'd have our Agape feast in the afternoon. And then we could meet any other times we want. But think about it and let me know if you want to do that. And it's a lot, much of what we do isn't just Bible study. Much of what you do is end up being kind of controversial, is that you expose each other's idolatry and destroy it. Because that's the one big thing that keeps us from the revelation of Christ and emptying, is that the ideas that we think are right. And so a lot of what we do is about, that's why there has to be the transparency and openness and trust. And so anyway, I want you to think about that. And let me know next time what you think, okay?
We need to be the grapes.
The grapes?
The grapes, not bananas.
We were bananas before I got so sick.
Yeah, gotta go some different name.
And then now we're bananas 2.0.
2.0.
All right, get out of here.